Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live. Veterans have helped protect and defend our country. To defend us, all have sacrificed some, but some have sacrificed all. The gratitude owed to veterans is immeasurable. They serve our country honorably, without question, and without asking for anything in return. Join Westchester Talk Radio as we honor our veterans with tales of heroism and sacrifice every second Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. live from Scarsdale Ford on Central Park Avenue in Scarsdale. Why We Stand, a very special program made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center, MSM Designs, our hosts Scarsdale Ford and Shark Creative. And you can always listen on demand at westchestertalkradio.com under the podcast page. You can also find more information about Why We Stand at scarsdaleford.com.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from Scarsdale Ford. I am Joe Arcino. We are, of course, produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Center, MSM Designs, Game Sportswear, and, of course, couldn't do this without Scarsdale Ford. And a big thank you to the crew for today, Matt and Jim. Not the nicest day in the world, but the crew, they made it work. We're out here. We're broadcasting. Our first guest today, you hear me mention all the time, Iona College. I wanted to get Iona involved in this, and I knew there's no one better to get involved from Iona than Matt Ricker. Matt, my good friend from Iona, thank you for coming out today.
Thank you, Joe, for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
Of course. Now, like we've said, Matt, a little rainy today, but we're battling through it. We're here, and we've got some good things to talk about today. Before we get into your family service, which I think is a lot of people are going to really enjoy hearing about, tell us a little bit about yourself, Matt.
Okay, so I'm from New Rochelle originally. I'm a fourth-generation New Rochelle. You know, both sides of my family have a long history in New Rochelle. So I went to all New Rochelle area schools and then went on to Iona College. Some of my friends thought it was crazy to stay so close to home. But a little fun fact, I'm actually the eighth person in my family to graduate from Iona College.
So, wow, that's a nice long line there.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I just love following the news and, you know, and... pretty much, I'm flexible. I like doing a lot of things, you know, hanging out with family and friends, and of course, being here.
Well, that's one of the reasons why it is good, because you are so well versed in the news, and I mean, you follow. We'll give Matt a plug later on some of his social media accounts, but you really are very well versed, and I think that gives you a good perspective, especially with an understanding and a respect for your family service. The Iona thing is cool, though. Eighth person in your family to go to Iona is pretty good. I mean, holding it down like that. I was kind of the same way, too. You know, I went to Rye High School. I'm from local. So I didn't. A lot of people, everyone wants to go away. But for me, I wanted to stay close, and there was no better place. And I think you and I, we both had a very good time at Iona.
Yeah,
always going to be a special place for both of us.
Definitely.
But, Matt, let's get into the main reason here, though, talking about your family service. Now, you've always been a big supporter of my work, and I really always appreciated that. And you and I have always talked, you know, and you told me if you ever want to talk about my family service, I'd be happy to. And then I was thinking one day, Matt would be a perfect person to bring on the show. I've got you here now. So give us, you know, tell us a little bit about growing up. Did your family ever explain it to you? You know, how did you grow up kind of being involved in it?
Sure. All my life, it's been very important to support the veterans and support the military and all that they do. But growing up, I would just talk to both of my grandfathers and some of my other family about, you know, what they'd done and then what their fathers did. So that would be my great-great-grandparents, what they did. So it was always so, like, fascinating to hear their stories. One of the ones that one of my grandfathers actually served in World War II and the Korean War in the Navy. He was a chief radio man, and he was on the USS Bunch. So he would always talk, you know, about Morse code and how his experience was, like, communicating with that. So that was interesting. And, you know, when you learn about history in the classroom, it's not as descriptive as, you know,
when
talking
you get
to
it from
veteran.
The person who was there, especially when it's a family member. Yeah. I don't think there's anything better than that.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, he was awarded many different medals, including the European Theater, the Asia Pacific, the Philippine Libertarian, American Theater, World War II Victory, Korean Service, and Good Conduct medals.
Wow.
So he, you know, he served for a long time, and it was hard at times because, you know, he had a few children. My mom is one of five children, so he constantly had, you know, children coming and was going back and forth, you know. And then on my other side of the family, my grandfather served in the National Guard here in New York for a few years. But then my great-grandfather, a native of Reno, Nevada, served also in World War II, but in the South and Central Pacific as well as Iwo Jima and Guadalcanal.
Wow.
And he served in the Seabees of the Navy. So it was a very tough transition for him coming back.
I'm
because
sure.
He experienced a lot of things out in World War II, and though I've only met him once, you know, many of my family members have told me, you know, all that he did.
Well, you know, that's one of the things we always talk about on the show, and whenever I bring on a vet is, you know, I think now we understand things like PTSD more than we ever did, but I mean, you just imagine some of the things that our brave veterans saw back then, and coming back, life, you know, I guess at times life seems normal, but there's always going to be that part of you that is never going to be the same again. But I mean, you've done some really great research here. Well, did you get a lot of this information from them themselves, or is there places you could go to look up this stuff? Where did you find some of this? The metal stuff was really cool. I did not know that.
Yeah, so I actually didn't know too much about them either. You know, I really never discussed the specific metals because, you know, as a little kid,
yeah,
you
it's
don't
not
really
something
ask.
That you just, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was a combination of just talking to family members. And one of my cousins actually is very big into Ancestry.
Okay.
.com. So she would go, she like got a subscription and she printed out like all these different documents on the war and, you know, enlisting documents.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was really cool. So I learned some of that stuff from there. And then also, in their obituaries, they have a lot of like information.
Okay.
They didn't die in any of the wars. They, you know, this was years later. Unfortunately, they're all passed on. But yeah, that's basically it. One other thing I'd like to share is,
of course,
my great uncle was also in the Navy. He was an ensign. And he was taking part in the Normandy invasion in France, and he served on the LST 282, and he was a gunnery officer there. And on August 15th, 1944, his name was Navy Ensign Peter Hughes, was on board standing on the conning tower when he was thrown off the deck and died instantly.
Oh, my God.
From an explosion. So just talking to my grandmother, because that was her brother, about the horror of her brother missing, because he was missing for months and months, and just trying to locate him, it took a long time before they found his remains, and, you know, before he was taken back here. So, you know, just listening to my grandmother talk about that and how heartbreaking that was to finally find, you know, his remains, but, you know, luckily his remains were found and brought back here.
And that's amazing. And, you know, it puts it all into perspective, because there is so many families, and especially back then, but you were just waiting for weeks and weeks. Yeah. And you mentioned Normandy. I mean, I remember reading weeks and weeks after the invasion, there were people sitting at home just trying to get news, trying to hear what happened. I mean, you can't even imagine what it would be like. And you have that element in your family's history where you certainly family members have experienced that. And it's just heartbreaking. And Matt, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you too is, since you are so well versed in the news today, I believe that there's a lot of people today who don't truly understand the sacrifices that many people have given to this country. And I worry that a lot of people take it for granted how lucky we are. From looking at the news like you do, am I a little crazy, or, you know, do you think there's a little bit of truth to that?
No, definitely. I mean, I think that at a sports game, you know, the national anthem should always be played.
Yes.
You know, whether you stand or not stand, you know, that's a whole nother debate. I won't get into that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it should still just be played because, you know, when there's veterans at the game, when a lot of times there are, you know, it just so happens there are a lot of veterans.
Yeah.
You know, a few people just come with their buddies, you know, at Yankee Stadium, they show the live shots of, you know, a few sailors, a few former sailors. It's always nice to see that. So I think it's very important, as I said, to play the national anthem just to show that people actually care,
yeah,
you know, about our veterans and, you know, and their service. And like I said, it has nothing to do with whether you stand or not stand. You know, that's totally up to you. But I think that...
You know what it is, too? It's a unifying symbol, you know?
Definitely.
It's showing we're all together.
Yeah.
This is our shared history. We've sacrificed so much to get to this point. And
right.
We need to remember that. And mm-hmm. I think that the song in the anthem is one of those things. It's a unifying symbol. It's something
yeah.
that connects us all together. We've
right.
all struggled at times. We've all had our downs. We've all experienced setbacks. But at the end of the day, we've all gotten to this point together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important. Matt, when you look today and you look back at your family's at their service, do you think growing up that's something that gave you a firm appreciation and understanding of and a respect for our service members and things like that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, even my dad, who you know, never served, he would tell me about or the family history as well and who served in the military. But, you know, he always made it clear that it's important to respect the veterans because they gave so much for our country. They basically, every veteran writes a blank check to the United States.
That's a great way of putting it, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just a no-brainer for me, you know, when it comes to veterans in the military. You know, I it always breaks my heart to hear at the VA that how there's all these backlogs and stuff. You know, so hopefully that'll get fixed soon. But
yeah. You know, the good thing is we've talked to a lot of people about their dealing with them in some of the conversations I've had, it still does seem like there's a long way to go, and a lot of it
yeah.
depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But there are places, and there are a lot of good people out there who are helping, which is great. But as we wind down that, I definitely want to get you a nice plug, because you do follow No So Closely. Where can people find some of your stuff? On Instagram, Twitter? Hit us with it all.
All right, sure. So I am attempting to restart my blog. I have my own domain, but I never really used
that's
it.
That's a first start,
yeah.
though. You have your domain.
Yeah, so you could go to my blog. Eventually, it'll be updated, mattricker.org. My Facebook is my full name, Matthew Ricker. My Twitter is at mattricker5. And my Instagram is the same, MattRicker5.
Now, Matt, tell us a little bit about, we got you, people can find you now. What do you think you wanted? You and I obviously know each other because we were both at the MassCom department.
Yeah.
We both know each other very well from that. But you're so talented in so many things. You wrote, you did a lot of TV, you did radio, you did it all. So is there an area after this time where you think you might want to see yourself in more than any?
So I've always loved radio and TV, and I hope to be back doing that.
Well, you're on the radio now,
yeah.
so not a bad way to start,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, whether as a host or a guest, I'm open to anything. And then, you know, as I was telling you, I worked for Fox News for two semesters.
Yes.
So I enjoyed doing that. I hope to be back there soon. I had a great experience. So whether it's something in production or something on air, I'm all flexible. I do it both.
Matt Ricker is a very talented guy. One of the best people I ever met at Iona. Matt, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. You're always welcome back. So I'm definitely going to keep following up with you, and we'll definitely incorporate you into it again. But Matt, really glad you were able to come out today. Everyone, I'm Joe Arcino. You just heard from Matt Ricker. We will be back soon, so don't go anywhere.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit safesecurevital.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting here from Scarsdale Ford. I'm your host, Joe Arcino, and we are made possible by Shark Creative and Entergy Indian Point Center. Of course, MSM Designs, and we could not be made possible without Scarsdale Ford, and of course, Game Sportswear as well. It is an honor to have Mike Duty back on the program with us. Mike was on with us a couple months ago when we had the show started to roll, and you know, we always liked to invite people back on and catch up with them. So, Mike, thank you very much for being back with us today.
Oh, dude, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Mike, let's talk a little bit first and foremost. So we've gained a lot of new listeners since the last time you were on. So there's some people who are still familiar with you, but for the people who haven't heard from you before, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure, absolutely. So first off, it is an absolute honor once again to be invited back onto the Westchester Talk Radio Show, especially the This Is Why We Stand segment. I know that myself and so many other veterans are extremely grateful to have a voice, which all of you have provided. So thank you very much for that. I explained briefly during my first appearance on the show that I was in the Army for 8 years. I deployed multiple times and was infantry. I had the honor of finishing my career as an infantry scout platoon sergeant in charge of 3 recon elements and 2 sniper sections. For those of you who do not know what an infantry scout platoon is, it's essentially a specialty platoon comprised of infantry soldiers. Unlike traditional infantry platoons, whose primary mission is to kill the enemy, the recon platoon's primary mission is to provide the battalion commander information about the enemy. So then the battalion commander can use the recon platoon to gather critical battlefield information and pass that information on between the planning and execution of combat operations. The beauty of what I was doing in being a scout platoon sergeant, but especially when I was a recon and sniper squad leader, is that you can essentially hand select your soldiers. And the quality of soldier in a platoon like this is second to none. I remember leaving, and the day I had to leave, and the hardest part was saying goodbye to all those guys. And at times, they made my job so easy, it was like clockwork. So if any of my scouts are listening today, thank you, and I hope you all are staying lethal and training hard. But a little bit more about myself. So I grew up in Ridgewood, New Jersey, not too far from Scarsdale. I was always an avid supporter of our nation's military, and I was always infatuated by them. I remember after high school, I did a post-grad year at Trinity Pauling in Pauling, New York, and I was going for baseball mainly, but I also played football and wrestled as well. I had full intentions of trying to make baseball a career, or at least seeing how far it could take me. And so I played that year, and it was funny. I started to feel a real sense of burnout set in. And at this point, I played the sport since I was 4 or 5, and I invested so much time into getting to that next level, whatever that may be. So anyway, I ended up graduating my postgraduate year and attended college where baseball continued. However, I was sitting in my room one night and I came to the realization that this really wasn't who I wanted to be or what I wanted to be doing. I really didn't know what I wanted to do at the time. You know, I was a 19-year-old kid, 18 at the time, and I really didn't have anything to strive for besides baseball, so this kind of hit me as a serious reality check, and I had to switch my vision almost immediately. So a few years went by. I eventually left Hofstra University where I went, and I walked into my local recruiter's office, and the rest is history. Without question, though, the military has certainly helped change my life, and it set me on the correct path, and it developed a set of standards for future accomplishments.
Well, Mike, we really appreciate it. I told you, you know, last time I felt like I learned so much from hearing everything you had to share. And we certainly thank you for your service and all the people who've served with you. And it means so much to us when you say, you know, that it's nice that we give a platform, because that's really what we're here to do. We're here to hear from you, to learn from you guys, and to honor you guys for all that you have done. Mike, we talked, and I wanted you to share with people a little bit. You kind of touched on it a little bit when you introduced yourself so well, but what are some of the life lessons that you've learned in the military that you've applied to now that you've entered back into a civilian role?
Sure. So there are 2 lessons that distinctly stand out in my memory. And I learned them while I was in the Army, and I like to think of them as being inscribed into my DNA now. The first lesson is to always have integrity, even if that means that you will not necessarily like the outcome. All right, so just so we're all on the same page, integrity by textbook definition is always being honest and having strong moral principles. However, I believe it digs slightly deeper into the notion of helping as many individuals as humanly possible. You know, last time I was on the show, Joe, we dug into the issues that soldiers have upon reintegrating back into society, and also the common misconceptions and pitfalls that soldiers face, and especially the combat soldiers. Integrity isn't just a battlefield solution to keep yourself in line, however. It carries over into every aspect of one's life. You know, I see some veterans that tend to only see what is placed directly in front of them as their obstacle, rightfully so, don't get me wrong, it definitely is an obstacle, but they do deem their issue the worst, and therefore it is hard to see outside that tunnel they've been placed around them. The VA, for the most part, is on our side, but it has failed to achieve success or even take action with a tremendous amount of veterans. I have not experienced this with the New York VAs, but I do know that around the country, and Arizona is notorious for this, Chicago's another one, things have happened, and hopefully they're on the right track to subside those issues and get them better. But this is definitely where a veteran must have a keen sense of integrity and take their own action to help their fellow veterans in need. And listen, I get it. You know, I was a former infantryman, and we're extremely thick-headed and stubborn. But the best advice that I can give to the general population is to simply take a second out of their day and have a conversation with some veterans. One of the most impactful methods of comfort and support a veteran can feel is knowing that others around them actually care about them. So that was lesson number one. Lesson number two is, I touched on this last time we were on the show, is surrounding yourself with like-minded, goal-oriented success seekers. And when I joined the military, I learned this very quickly. Surrounding yourself, you know, in the general population is very much the same as when you join the military, seeing that everyone's a civilian before they join. And listen, some bad apples can always slip through the cracks and join the Army ranks. But what I found super interesting, I'll dig into kind of paradigm that I compare it to with a book I read, but on deployment, it is actually extremely hard to depict outstanding soldiers from mediocre ones as a general rule. And this is mainly because the soldier's thought process plays perfectly into combat. You know, you protect the person to your left and right, and then you close within and destroy the enemy. And Sebastian Junger was the guy I'm speaking about, and I did talk about how I was in the 173rd, and Sebastian Junger did follow Battle Company 2nd Platoon around in the Korangal Valley, which is a absolutely brutal place. And he did write a book called War on That, but he also wrote a book called Tribe. And he speaks brilliantly in that book, attributing PTSD from soldiers on the home front into a battlefield scenario. And I'm not going to dive too far into it, but some of the distinct triggers and factors surrounding the trauma-related incidents that soldiers experience play substantially well during combat situations. So anyone who's listening today, I definitely implore you to check out that book called Tribe.
They are great reads, like you said, and I think you help people put it into perspective for people, but that's an even greater outlet to go in and continue to read more. But you've touched on some things which kind of lead into my next question. I worry, and one of the reasons why I was so motivated to create this show when I did was I worry that there's many people in the public and in our society today who take for granted the sacrifices of our military, whether it's over our historical period or today. I just see so many things happening in our society today that I worry about. But you've served along with so many other people. Do you worry about that people today have taken for granted or are taking for granted the sacrifices of our military?
What a phenomenal question. You know what, Joe? I don't worry about that at all. And that's because I believe that the public simply does not understand the sacrifices that's made for them. And therefore, they're foreign to the actual sacrifices that are continuously made. Listen, a civilian will never be able to assimilate to a combat soldier. And in most cases, that's going to work both ways. But I will tell you this. Many people love to speak on our behalf as if we are triggered by every aspect of our country's political and social ways of life. But it's simply not the case. Now, I'm a conservative. As a conservative man in today's society, I completely understand that every single civilian in our country is free and able to do as they so choose. And this is whether or not I'm in favor of their actions. On the contrary, I do find it a little bit disheartening. All right, however, I'm a big boy. We're all big boys and girls. And unlike so many, we aren't triggered very easily from pettiness and all the self-proclaimed subjectivism that's going on. We just work harder. Listen, in the military, we train harder to defeat the enemies, both foreign and domestic, and power our nation's will to win on a consistent basis. Do I expect someone down the block to begin to understand the daily life stressors, especially of a combat infantryman? No, I don't. We're up at the crack of dawn or before. We physically train for hours at a time, fuel our bodies to continuously surpass the lethality levels of yesterday, march with 100 pounds on our backs, go to ranges, training events, learn new tactics and techniques, fit in Army schools and classes, take care of soldiers, ensure they are up on medical, dental, vision, training, they're fit to fight, and we also want to make sure they have a solid foundation on the home front. This and so much more is all done from a 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. workday. And if you're infantry, you can add in various weeks or months being away from your family and friends. And now, this man or woman down the block can sit down and imagine what it's like to walk in our nation's soldiers' boots. So it's not that I don't think they take the sacrifices for granted. I truly believe that they do not understand, nor will they ever, unless they do walk in the boots.
Well, I really appreciate you giving your insight on that because, you know, look, at the end of the day, it's like you said, the people that you need to ask about this kind of stuff are people like you who have served. And I think you put it really, really well. It is hard to understand, but I think that's why we need to have conversations like this to help people understand, because I think talking about it is certainly a good way to do it. But, Mike, let's get into now a little bit more. Last time, we were talking a little bit about your role at Rye Health and Fitness, and we kind of talked about last time I believe you were kind of getting the ball rolling with things. So now that some time has passed, I've seen you posting a lot of stuff about it. Tell us a little bit how things have been going there.
Sure. Listen, Rye Health and Fitness has always been a successful business. Dennis Briscoe, the original owner, he's had the place, you know, successfully year after year for 10 years. It's such an honor to be able to work there and now be, you know, one of the owners of Rye Health and Fitness. It certainly continued to do well this year, especially heading into the fourth quarter. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing the numbers at the end. But first, I have to thank all of our loyal clients and trainers for their continuous support and hard work. We could not do any of this without them. And this is what truly fuels our success in the fitness industry and especially the town of Rye. So for anyone who doesn't know Rye, and I'm sure most everyone does who's listening, but Rye is a special place in the sense that it's a very niche market with extremely educated, well-educated individuals who have done extremely well for themselves. Our facility has created an extremely welcoming and super fun environment for these clients, and they've returned the favor by not only building lifelong friendships, but also being lifelong clients. While we're talking about that, I also want to mention a new project is in the mix. It's going to be in the town of Rye still, but that's really all I want to keep it at right now. But definitely keep an eye open for another location because this concept, I believe, is truly going to capitalize on the amazing fitness market in Westchester County.
Well, that's certainly something we like to hear. And one of the things I also did want to ask you about is because, you know, I've seen some of the pictures online of your competitive bodybuilding stuff. I mean, you are as well built as anyone I've ever seen. And if there's anyone who's given me fitness instruction, I'd want it to be somebody like you. But one of the things I've heard a lot of times from people reading or from people interviews is it's difficult to maintain that level of bodybuilding when you're in the military since things are so cardio-based. Now, I could be wrong. I could have heard that wrong, but could you speak to that a little bit? Have you always been a bodybuilder like that? Was it harder to maintain that when you were in the military? Just give us the rundown on that.
That's another great question. And, you know, I will tell you this. Okay, so the two are not necessarily mutually exclusive. In the military, and especially a job where lethality and performance are pivotal for your unit success, bodybuilding has to be a secondary hobby. While I was in, I was not a bodybuilder. I focused heavily on performance training. I did heavy weight lifting around, you know, the main lifts, and I worked mostly explosive, fast twitch muscle fiber style exercises. You want to be able, while you're in, to be able to recruit as many motor units as possible to fire off at an elite level rate. essentially when the bleep hits the fan. But I was also heavily into mixed martial arts when I was in. I was an instructor in the military, but I would also focus on being as lethal without my weapons as I was with them. So in my eyes, I never wanted the enemy to be able to have the upper hand. God forbid my weapon was disabled and I needed another skill set to bring my men home safe and sound. So it was not until I left the military that I really started competing in bodybuilding, although it was kind of always on the back burner of my mind. But bodybuilding is formed around looking as symmetric and muscly as possible. So this is all while having a ridiculously low percentage of body fat. When I competed last, I think it was around 2% body fat. And I remember back in the day losing weight for wrestling and thinking, like, how on earth can you do this? This sucks so much. But it wasn't really until I learned the science, you know, I got an exercise science degree, I learned the science behind bodybuilding, and I truly understood how you can lose even more weight than I did in the past, yet keep a very well-defined body with full muscles. But bodybuilding is a very fun sport and a very precise sport scientifically. It takes extreme discipline and an enormous amount of time, which is very hard with two growing boys at home. So for me, like I described on our last show, I would socially isolate myself and spend hours at the gym. But as a bodybuilder, you almost have to do this, because if you want to be legitimate and compete and win, there's really no other way to get around that. And now I was obviously dealing with other issues at the time and trying to adapt to a place like New York, which is extremely hard to adapt to when you get out as a combat soldier. But it did teach me a great deal about my own capacity to truly push limits. And I definitely attribute so much of that success to my time in service. Because in the service, I learned such a great deal about myself in times of desperation and in times of flourishment. But I would say that winning my last show was definitely one of the greater accomplishments since leaving the service. And as of now, I don't have another date for a show. I was planning on doing one in November of this year, but, you know, prior engagements kind of got in the way. And, you know, to be honest, I actually enjoy coaching bodybuilders on the side. Now, so, you know, I don't have a date for my next show, but you never know. Maybe I'll come around next year and do one.
Well, we definitely would like to hear about it if you do, because like I said, and I'm really glad you answered that about the military component of it, because it's a question I've always had. But Mike, before we end, last time I don't think we touched on your family. You just said too right now, you know, you've got two growing boys up at home. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Absolutely. So my wife, Lauren, we've been together for a little over 7 years, as of August, actually. So me and her, actually, she was with me when I was up at Fort Drum, which, oddly enough, thank you very much for taking me on this phone interview. We're up here right now, the home of the 10th Bound Division. I'm checking on a home that we have here that we're looking to sell in Sackett's Harbor. But me and her up here, as well as my two sons, Joseph and Christopher. Joey is 6 and Chris is 2, and both of them are awesome kids, man. Joey is a sports addict, and Chris is becoming one because he's looking up to his older brother. Joey's also an avid dancer. He loves doing it, but they're the light of my life. It's a great time, and you know, I look forward to seeing what kind of accomplishments they can do upon growing up. And I try to be the best father that I possibly can be. And, you know, I always look forward to the future.
Well, Mike, they certainly are learning from a great man. We always really enjoy the insights and talking to you. You really come prepared and you have thoughtful answers. We really appreciate it. I know things were a little hectic for you right now, but thank you so much for making some time for us today, Mike.
And, Joe, like I stated from the beginning, we are extremely grateful. Thank you for giving us a voice.
You got it, Mike. Mike, I'm sure, is going to be back with us again. Always enjoy talking with everyone. You're listening to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
When considering a building or renovation project, you need someone on your side. An experienced and knowledgeable company with expertise in planning, budgeting, organization, and control. Whether the project is a house, a school, a retail location, or an office building, you need Reverso Associates on your side.
They're focused on two things: to provide or assist in the management of building programs from the earliest planning through occupancy, and to provide a flexible, experienced management consulting capability specializing in the needs of the construction industry. With a staff of architects, engineers, construction managers, estimators, construction accountants, schedulers, draftsmen, and other specialists, and with experience from over 1,000 projects, Reverso Associates can meet your needs effectively. When deciding on any type of construction project, or if a project is heading in the wrong direction, you need the expertise and experience of Reverso Associates on your side. Call for a consultation, 914-723-3474, or visit reversoassociates.com. Reverso Associates, a team of experts to get the job done.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We are broadcasting live from Scarsdale Ford. I am your host, Joe Arcino, and Jim Cleefield is joining me. And, of course, we are produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, MSM Designs, and Game Sportswear. Also, a big shout-out to Matt, our engineer. Today, with the weather, it is not the nicest in the world, but we're making it work. Couldn't do it without the team.
Thank you very much, Joe. Glad to help.
It is always nice. And Jim, it's been a while since we've had you on, just the two of us. And I figured it's a good opportunity to kind of look ahead, because we've got some cool things coming up. We've been doing it here at Scarsdale Ford, but we also have our ventures where we've been at Playland for an event. We've got some pretty cool events coming up in October. We've got one in November. We've got one. Jim, the October event is going to be at the beautiful mansion in White Plains. You were talking about that before. Where is that going
to be? It's the C.V. Rich Mansion in White Plains. And this is a salute to women's veterans. I believe that's what we're doing for that one.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's something I'm really excited to do. I've always really enjoyed our conversations with our female veterans. Gail Goodson is a great benefit. A great guest. She's been on the show a couple times, and she's actually the reason we're going to be in November at the Hudson Valley Honor Flight, and that is going to be really cool. Gail hooked us up with that. She got us a nice spot. They're going to bring in all the vets for us, and to me, that's going to be really special because there's going to be a lot of veterans there, and it's been an event that they've had, and they've had a lot of success with in the past, but Jim, it's going to be a really cool one. It really is.
It's going to be my first time there, and it's not going to be too far away from West Point, I believe.
No, location. And that's another great one, and I think it's always a reminder that there's so much history around here, and there's so much important places, and we've been honored enough to be at some of them at Lasden Park. Not too long ago, back in August, Matt, we were there covering it. To me, that's still the ultimate. I had so much fun covering that event. The tank that was there, the gun on the Jeep, you name it. I mean, that was, to me, I still think about that all the time.
I really loved it. I thought it was excellent. I enjoyed seeing the tank. I enjoyed seeing them, operating all the different machine guns, the tanks, the Jeeps, everything. I mean, it was a great day out.
And see, I was very impressed because, you know, I could tell you about what war the tank was used in, why the tank is named the way it is, but I can't tell you about why the tank works the way it does or why a military vehicle does. You have such a great knowledge of that, and you're not only an engineer. I mean, from car stuff. I mean, how do you know so much about this? Is it just something you've always known, you've always had a passion for?
Yeah, basically, it's always something I've had a passion for. I was always interested in cars, and military vehicles are a big part of the auto industry from 1942 to 1945, especially. There was a lot of material shortages from 1939 going forward into 1942, and a lot of the cars reflected that. Where that instead of using chrome bumpers, they used bumpers that were sprayed silver. They also had hubcaps that were sprayed as well. And that was all to decrease the amount of metal being used. And basically in 1942, everything was converted over into war production. And auto companies such as Rolls-Royce, General Motors, Chrysler produced a lot of tanks. General Motors was famous for using the hydromatic transmission system. They used it in their cars for many years prior to World War II, and then in World War II, they started using them in the tanks, and of course, they were beefed up for military use, They really did, carry the war forward and, putting the U.S. out on top.
Well, that's a great history lesson there, and it is really a reminder of how we were dealing with the Depression and things, and how our industry really helped getting prepared for the war. It really dragged us out of that, really, and that's one of the reasons why I think it was so special to be here at Scottsdale Ford, and because the Ford name in general historically has been so associated with that period and helping to pump out stuff. We do have that nice shark van. That too, also, is a big part of the industry. But I think when we look at everything we've done, it's really cool. And one of the things I've never really gotten to talk to... Oh, hold on. Matt.
No, there was one more thing, too, that the original Jeeps actually were produced by Ford Motor Company long before Jeep went to American Motors and then subsequently to Chrysler. Ford was the first producer of Jeep back in, back in the early 40s. And the Jeep, basically, it's got its name from general purpose. And as you may or may not know, it was called a GP or a Jeep. And that's how the servicemen pronounced it. And then after the war, it became Jeep, J-E-E-P.
Well, that's the cool thing is we actually did have a veteran on the for a phone interview, Norm Dower, who we met at Lazen Park at the Military Vehicle Show, and he had his vehicle at the show. He had the Jeep fully functioning. He had a 30 caliber machine gun on there, which actually mimicked the sound. It was operated by gas, so that was very cool. And he did a great job his historical show, and you could when he told the story about when he was back over in Europe, how GI Jeeps rolled up to him. That was a powerful story, and I think you could see when you hear that why maintaining a Jeep like that means so much to him. And I think when people can see with their own eyes these vehicles, it's almost like you can touch history. And I think to me that's something so powerful, and why that event worked so well is because you get to touch history, whether it was the cannon or the tank or the Jeep. Just being able to see it within your own eyes and hear the sounds of it. It was funny because we had the tank firing, we had the cannon firing, we had the machine gun going off. And so you had all these great sounds, which added so much to the presentation. But it was just fantastic. And before, what I was talking about is there's also a website, which I don't really promote enough on this show, which I should. This is whywestand.net, where you can find tons of stories. I think it's a nice way to kind of build you into this because, we're here every second Saturday of the month. But in the downtime, you want to find more content, you go on there, you can read. There's always great stories up on there, and I really always appreciate it. And a lot of our veterans who have been on the program have followed the blog and have read the stories on there, and when they like it, that means a lot to me because, if they're supporting it, you got to be doing something right.
The great thing about your show is that not only have we had a chance to really, look at it in a textbook in high school, colleges, etc. And, you've heard about this most of your childhood. It's the fact that now that we can actually see, touch, and feel what it is. And so now we can take everything that we've learned in the classroom and actually look at it in person. And it's such a benefit to see how everything was used. And, how the United States had defended itself during, some very dark times.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things where I think it's been so cool because we've had vets from so many different eras, which also helps make it come alive. We've had World War II veterans on there, Chick Galalo, Pearl Harbor survivor, one of the most memorable interviews I've ever done. We've had Korean War veterans on. We've had Vietnam War vets. We've had vets from the current war on terrorism. The people who are still serving. So I think we've done a good job of giving a portrait and a window into so many different conflicts, so many different periods. And again, it's all about making people have an appreciation, have respect and understanding, helping increase people's knowledge. And I think that's one of the cool things that we've been able to do on this program. And looking forward to what we've got coming up in October, we mentioned it, in November. It's going to keep on coming for Veterans Day weekend. Our show is going to be on November 10th. back here at Scarsdale Ford, and I'm really hoping to do something really big and special for that one.
Yeah, certainly. That's a very big weekend. It's Veterans Day weekend, and I should also mention that for those who are on Instagram who follow us, we're at Andrew C. Shark. My handle is jcleef64. I also know that This Is Why We Stand is now on Instagram. You're following me, and I'm following you now.
You guys both, I appreciate the follow on there. I figure, you know, for a long time, I was keeping it under my name, but I figure, you know, since we've grown in November, that'll actually be marked 1 year since we've started here at Scarsdale Ford. So it's always, that's going to be a cool kind of a thing to note down in the history pages, of our history pages at least. But yeah, you can follow on Instagram, This Is Why We Stand there. Of course, subscribe to thisiswhywestand.net. In November, it's going to be pretty cool. We're going to try to invite back as many of the guests we've had as possible. We want to get as many people here as we can just to kind of look back at how far we've come and how many unique conversations we've had. We always appreciate it. Jim Cleefield, Matt Kion, I am Joe Arcino. Everyone, you're listening to This Is Why We Stand on Westchester Talk Radio. We're here at Scarsdale Ford. Always appreciate it, because without them, this would not be possible. And again, a big thank you to our sponsors, Indian Point Energy Center, of course, MSM Designs, and Game Sportswear. Everyone, I'm Joe Arcino. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too, and now we also have our very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark.